Welcome to Ever Beyond on Free Thinking Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Call in on 646-649-0866. That's 646-649-0866.
Good evening and welcome once again to Ever Beyond. We have tonight, our guest is a dear friend of mine who I've known for several years, and I originally came across her as a Native American storyteller. She used to tell the stories from the Great Wolf and the Great Eagle and all of those sorts of things. And today we're going to be talking about laughter yoga. Now, you might think, well, I've heard of Kriya Yoga, I've heard of Hatha Yoga, I've heard of Karma Yoga, I've heard of all these other yogas, but I've never heard of laughter yoga. What's that about? That sounds like it's not very serious. So, we're going to find out in the next moment about laughter yoga. And I'd like to welcome you live to Ever Beyond Studios here in the Highlands of Scotland, surrounded by sheep and fields and cows and wheat and barley and all these lovely natural things and forests and stuff like that. Welcome to Ever Beyond, Manda Stretch.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's great to be here.
And you're warm enough.
I'm very warm.
It's,
yes.
You know, you might think Highlands of Scotland, it's all freezing and cold and rain and snow, but no, tonight we've got the stove running and we've got the fires running. So, Manda, good evening, and welcome to my show. And here we are. We hooked up the other day, and he said, "Right, let's go," because I'm going away to India. So we'll talk about your India half life, as it were. You spend a lot of time here, and a lot of time there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereabouts do you stay in India?
So I was called, if you like, to it's in Tamil Nadu state, and it's Tiruvannamalai, and it's one of those, it's like they say, it's one of the most powerful places in India. It's like a hot spot for seekers, and it's got the holy mountain there, Arunachala, and where the Indians believe that Shiva is actually living inside the mountain. And this comes about from a legend from many centuries ago, where there was a burning beacon on top of this mountain, where it's more like a hill. They call it a mountain though. And then this burning beacon was then disappeared into the mountain, and it's from then that the legend is that Shiva is actually inside this mountain. So every full moon, tens and hundreds of thousands of the Hindu, mainly Indian people, but there's a few Westerners as well, walk around the circumference of this holy mountain. So saints and sages have gathered there for centuries. So it's got a very a vibration conducive to the work that I do.
Excellent. And as a matter of note for me, because I'm like that, which direction do they walk around the mountain? Is it clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Yeah, they go this way around.
Clockwise.
They go clockwise.
Okay,
around the mountain.
Interesting. Because, yeah, you know, the Muslims, they go around the Hajj, the Kaaba, not the Hajj, in the Hajj ceremony.
Yeah.
The Kaaba, they go, millions of, thousands and thousands of people are travelling around anti-clockwise.
Which, uh-huh, yeah.
And There's a magnetic anomaly there. So is it also known as a hotspot for UFO activity and things like that?
I haven't heard any of that, but you know, this walking around the mountain is like, you know, taking years off of the karma record of each of them. So it's also linked.
So it's a form of karma yoga.
Similar to like the River Ganges, where you dip in the Ganges and you can remove some of your karma. Mm. Well, walking around this mountain is said to have the same effect.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So, and the name of the mountain again, because
it's called Arunachala.
How do you spell that?
So, A R U N A T C H U L A. So, the famous sage Ramana Maharshi, the one who devised the phrase "Who am I?" He, as a boy of 14, he was just like a so-called ordinary teenage boy. But one day he had this very strong feeling that he was about to die. So he lay down in his room, reenacting his own death. Oh. And in that moment, he saw himself as he truly is, the essence of himself. And basically, within a very short time of this experience, he left home, and he had heard this mountain, the name of this mountain, Arunachala, and something in it, the name vibrated with him very strongly, and he had like a few rupees in his pocket, and he just walked and walked until he eventually got to the mountain, and basically he never left it for the rest of his life.
Wow.
So he lived in caves, and followers came. He didn't want followers, but followers naturally were attracted by his light. And the Westerner, the American Paul Brunton, he was the one who discovered him, if you like, and brought him famous into the Western world.
When was that?
Oh, we're talking the early 1900s type of
thing.
Oh, I
see. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, probably a bit later. Maybe 20s and 30s, maybe around 1920, 1930. Yeah.
When there was a big Eastern push from the Western mystic schools and things like that. Excellent.
So this is where I go do the laughter yoga.
Right.
In this context of this incredibly powerful mountain. And so I do it on a rooftop. I've been given a rooftop, lent a rooftop, if you like. Mm-hmm. And I put up notices as soon as I arrive in town that there's laughter club happening. And people gather. And from the laughter club, which I run three times a week in the town, from that I do get a core of people prepared to go further with it and to become laughter leaders and to spread the word of light, joy and happiness.
Excellent. So this truly is lightness, because when they talk about having a light heart, making light of something, all of these things, they're all referring to both light, as in, you know, the light, the light in the dark, but also in terms of levity, being the opposite of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
To make light, to make a humorous situation, that humor is part of, well, in my humble opinion, if it's not funny, or if there's no humor in it, there's no spirit in it, because it's spirit that creates humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do all the elephant jokes come from? I believe they come directly from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
See, the thing is, Jeremy, about laughter yoga is that I'm inviting people, when I'm doing my trainings or running laughter club, I'm inviting people to do something which they've probably never done in their life before. And that is to laugh, not at jokes, not at comedians, but to laugh for no reason. Now, this takes a slight, it's like wanting it's a, like a lateral view.
Mm.
So I'm asking people to go laterally just for that hour of Laughter Club, to laugh for no reason. We're just giving permission to people just to laugh, so as an exercise.
Mm.
And as it starts off on the physical level, people can then relate to this, that they know if they laugh, they it's going to release the endorphins and they're going to have the feel-good factor. But as we all know, starting from the physical level, then it radiates onto the emotional level, the mental level and the spiritual level. Mm-hmm. So it affects all the levels. Mm. But I start off as a physical level thing. So just giving basically people permission and excuses to laugh by the use of very simple laughter exercises.
And so let's start off with why should... Give us some of the health benefits of laughter yoga.
All right. Okay. So there were some early laughter pioneers like Norman Cousins. He wrote The Anatomy of an Illness, and he had a very horrible, painful illness. He signed himself out of hospital. He put himself into a hotel room, and he just watched funny videos all the time. So mm-hmm. this was one of the early pioneers of laughter, and he discovered that 10 minutes of hearty laughter watching these videos in his hotel room gave him 2 hours of pain-free sleep. So basically, hearty laughter or belly laughter, mm-hmm. it needs to come from the diaphragm. The belly laughter releases endorphins. This has been scientifically proven. And so the endorphins are the feel-good factors. So mm-hmm. if people are depressed or if they're stressed, these endorphins change the biochemistry of the body. And so within so the hour of Laughter Club, people go in one chemistry and they come out with another chemistry. And that chemistry, change chemistry of the feel-good factor, keeps with them for the rest of the day. Mm. So it's not just something felt in Laughter Club. And so it's also supposed to help reduce blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
There's also been assertions that it affects the weight. Obviously, if we feel better about ourselves, it will affect things like our eating habits. So the main things are the... and also the oxygen, with the increased oxygen, because in between the laughter exercises, mm-hmm. we're doing breathing exercises, and we all know the yogis have been practicing pranayama,
mm-hmm.
the Indian method of yogic breathing, for centuries. And so they're accessing the prana, the life force. And so with increased oxygen, because laughter is a strong aerobic exercise, with the increased oxygen, we oxygenate our cells. And these early pioneers found out that it's impossible to get cancer with plenty of oxygen in the cells.
Yes.
So so lots of cancer hospitals use laughter yoga in America, especially. Mm-hmm. So it is catching on. It's becoming more and more well known, the term laughter yoga.
That's brilliant. Thank you. So too many questions. All right, so let's start with the guy Norman Cousins.
Yeah.
Okay. He did something that I tell people to do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, advice and stuff like that. And when they're depressed, I say, look, just tune into Channel 4 or you know, the BBC online. Go to the comedy section and find your favourite comedies and, you know, watch three, one after the other.
Mm.
Get some laughter into you. I have always advocated laughter as...
You are a laughing, smiley sort of person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really important. It's because I'm fat, I'm supposed to be jolly, you know. If I was miserable, they'd think, oh, isn't that fat miserable bloke? Oh, there's Jeremy, huh? He's a jolly chap, you know. And it kind of, the vibrations of the laughter. But back to a little conversation we were having earlier, in that when you are ill or when you have a condition, It comes out in all your vibratory expression, let's say. So it comes out in your voice, it comes out in your hair, it comes out in all of the expressions of your body. And when you're laughing, you're making a particular frequency of vibration. Like when you're giggling, you're going and that da 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 da, that's a frequency.
Yeah.
And when you're going ha 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 ha, that's another frequency. It's a it's a lower frequency. There will be a harmonic relationship if you know. I don't know if anybody's done any scientific measures of whether it's a universal thing. So if I start laughing, you know. Sorry, that's Peter Griffin from Family Guy. But if I were to laugh at a particular frequency, do people copy that frequency, or do they laugh at their own frequency? I've never asked that question, never thought about the question before. Do you know anything about that?
This week, as it happens, there's a scientific paper out from the Oxford University. So laughter's been quite big in the news this week. And what they're looking at mm-hmm. is the early bonding of the cavemen.
Right.
And they have linked a hearty belly laugh, not just a little giggle, but a hearty belly laugh, which, as we've already said, releases the endorphins. It then helps the bonding of groups of people.
Yeah.
And they said up to that point, the animals can't do hearty belly laughs. They were only gathering in groups of 50. Whereas these scientists advocate that because of the belly laugh and the group bonding, they gathered in groups of 100. And this was thought to be possible because it was the laughter. So it's like the laughter becomes, it's one of the first responses. Even babies are smiling in the womb. And it's like a group acceptance. It's like a prehistoric wanting, need to be accepted and liked. And so be in the tribe, because if you were outside the tribe, you were done for. You needed the tribe, you know, for the hunters and all the rest of it. So this, you know, the smiling and the laughter is very early.
I love that the expression.
Early prehistoric, one of the first emotions.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's lovely to hear. That you know, laughter is the first emotion. The first recognized expression in a group.
Yes.
Because often crying in a group is that's not good. You know, in a group, you don't want anybody crying there. It brings everybody down. It's like, you know, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
But when somebody makes some, you know, everybody's huddled together, there's just been a storm, everybody's lost their house.
Yeah.
And some, you know, you're all huddled in this dark room, hiding from the storm.
Yeah.
And somebody will come out and crack a joke.
Yeah.
And then the atmosphere will completely transform once everybody's... it's almost like something that is necessary.
Yeah.
Our survival.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a human condition that brings... It's impossible to hate somebody when you're laughing with them.
That's
so it's like... it's not only a survival thing, but it's also a highly compassionate, unconditional, loving space that it's possible for humans to get into just through laughing together.
So laughter and forgiveness go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my practice that I've been doing since I started this laughter path, I first came across laughter as a so-called meditation like 20 years ago in the Osho commune in Pune in India, and we would laugh for a week, and then we would cry for a week.
Wow.
And it's called the Mystic Rose. It's a 3-week process, and then the third week we would do what's called the process of watching on the hill, the watcher on the hill, or mindfulness meditation. So that was my first introduction to laughter in a different form to what I'd ever known it before. So since I've discovered this particular method from this Indian medical doctor called Madan Kataria of laughter yoga, it's a relatively new concept that's come from him. It's the basic thing is about this laughing for no reason. But I've started this personal practice of self-forgiveness, and it's like I go to bed with a smile on my face, and I wake up with a smile on my face, and I try and keep this smiling awareness, even if it's smiling inwardly at myself, at my internal organs, at, you know, 24/7. And I found this very self-forgiving. And taking myself less seriously, beating myself up less, feeling more compassionate towards myself and therefore towards others, you know. So it's like a mystery school.
Mm.
I feel like the laughter is like a mystery school.
Mm.
If one is willing to go through that door.
So it's almost like a form of a tantric kundalini kind of... has it had any effect? Does it have effects on kundalini, you know?
Yeah. I'm not really totally.
All right, that's different areas of yoga.
Yeah,
it's areas of the body energy of the sacral and base center and things like that.
Yeah.
That's great. So, I've always one of my secret desires is to have a comedy set.
Mm.
You know that I've been playing music all these years, and
yeah.
That often people who do music go into comedy because they'll have the guitar, and the breaks between the songs become longer and longer as they start telling jokes and things like that.
Mm.
So that's my secret desire.
Yeah.
I've yet to even sit down and write some jokes and practice doing them. But that's always been really my aim to be like, you know, Billy Connolly or Jasper Carrot or, you know, all these folk singers who Mike Harding who became comedians later on through the use of their music. And well, I've got a few more years to live. I'm sure I'll be able to get that.
Mm.
But I've always recognised that it's very important to make people laugh. It makes it certainly makes people feel less how can I put this, less nervous of the people that are surrounding them, you know.
Yeah.
You may be in a group of strangers and you don't know how somebody is going to react until you hear them laugh.
Yeah.
And how easily or how difficult it is to make them laugh, you know. People who laugh the last, you know,
yeah,
are often, you know, there's a kind of superiority about them. They're, you know, it's like it's hard to make somebody laugh if they're above you.
Mm-hmm. I think with this method, it is a definite method, and it's, as I say, it's saying, like, I was doing a session with like 100 people in. I live in the Fintorn community up in the Highlands. As you know, but the listeners probably don't know.
Yeah.
And we had a big sharing, what's called, you know, a lot of people in the hall doing their you know, poems and stuff. And I was asked to start off this big sharing with 100 people. So everybody sat down. And so I was doing like a few exercises to warm up the space, to get the... you know, to have the bonding, to have a receptive space for when these nervous performers come in front of them all, and somehow it's all warmed up.
Yeah.
So I did a few little exercises with them, and one of them is called Laughter Cream. And so, I mean, the beauty about this is that I don't need to be a comedian, I don't need to write jokes, and I had 100 people laughing because I'd given them... Everybody wants to laugh.
Absolutely.
You know. And so with Laughter Cream, I said, right, imagine that you've got this tube and you squeeze it onto your hand and you dab on your fingers and onto your face and you just start to laugh. And the more cream you put on, the more laughter comes. And so it's very childlike.
Mm.
And that's, it's as much about the childlike playfulness as it is the laughter.
And that is the most healing thing.
Yeah.
Because when you give your inner child, who is your soul,
yeah,
you know, we grow up around that little soul piece.
Yeah.
And we have our big physical bodies, but inside all of that, there's a little child, and
yeah,
and it's loving and it's playful and it's carefree and all of these lovely things.
And it's so innocent.
And it's innocent. Yeah. And the laughter enables it to come out.
Yeah, it gives permission to come out in a safe way.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's beautiful. I mean, the world mission statement of laughter yoga is actually world peace. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah.
So it's along the lines of like the pebble in the pond, where we're feeling happier and lighter about ourselves and friends and relations and communities and nations and so on. And it's impossible to create enemies within the laughter circle, because we're all in it together.
Mm.
And the beauty about this method is, even if you don't feel like laughing, as long as you're making the sounds or the movements from the diaphragm, it's been scientifically proven that the body doesn't know the difference, and so you're still getting the same health benefits as if you were with a genuine laugh. So that makes it accessible actually to everybody.
Mm. Even if people don't have a sense of humour.
Even if people don't have a sense of humour, even if they don't feel like laughing that day, even if, there's no amount of conditions which, they can all be wiped out, all those conditions, as long as one has a willingness to laugh and brings oneself into the laughter situation. So I hear from people saying, well, you know, why should I come to Laughter Club when I laugh all the time and I've got some good friends and they make me laugh?
Mm.
Well, the whole point is, there's nowhere else where you can have a guaranteed 10 to 15 minute belly laugh, because we don't just laugh, we do breathing exercises, we do relaxation. So it's not laughing the whole time, but we get guaranteed, and this is the dose recommended, 10 to 15 minutes per day of hearty belly laugh is enough to keep the fresh oxygen in our cells and to ward off, as I say, impossible to get cancer, for example. So to keep a healthy body, mind and spirit, it requires just 10 to 15 minutes a day. So in India, they have laughter clubs. So I was in Bangalore for a while, and there's 200 laughter clubs alone in that city.
Wow.
They're going to be a very healthy elderly population, because it's mainly the elderly people who are on the parks, and they're all laughing at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's an incredible sight. So in the West, we tend to have mainly weekly, if we have at all, if we're lucky enough to have a weekly laughter club in our area.
Mm.
But there is such things as laughter telephone lines. So you can call up, if you put Laughter Telephone Line UK, there is a line based down in St Albans. And you call up the line at 7 o'clock in the morning, every Monday to Friday. You laugh for 10 minutes. There's other people laughing. It's live laughter. It's not some canned laughter. And then after 10 minutes, you just put the phone down. And so it's like a conference call of laughter. So one can get the dose of 10 minutes if one wants to.
That's brilliant. I've never heard of that. So how many laughter clubs are in Britain?
But it's a bit, it's quite
hard to find out.
It's probably quite hard to find out, because they come and they go and they pop up. And like I train laughter leaders, and they go away very keen from the training and start laughter clubs. But how many? Probably, I mean, not necessarily weekly, but there could be between 30 and 40, say.
Right, so you're saying maybe one in every major city?
Yeah, certainly. Well, there's several in London, and I know of one in Manchester. I know somebody's doing it in Newcastle. So if you go on to laughteryoga.org, this is the main mother site based in India, and then it says find clubs, and then you put in UK, and they'll tell you what clubs are active at the moment.
How cool.
Yeah.
How cool.
I mean, it's in like over like 80 countries, laughter clubs now. So, and it's Dr. Kataria he's very flexible in the way he leads the so-called organisation, or the mission of, it's his mission of Laughter Yoga, and one of the things he does want us to do is to provide a free laughter club for people. Obviously, you can ask for donations towards your own expenses. So these are supposed to be free laughter clubs, so anybody can come, you know, at that particular time of the week and have a good laugh.
Excellent. So I'd like to play a little tune now.
Okay.
We're about half past, and I'm going to play a very sweet little tune that everybody loves and makes everybody smile. And it's Three Little Birds by
lovely.
Bob Marley.
Super.
So, meanwhile, back at Laughter Yoga. So there's the main site, which is laughteryoga.org.
Yeah.
And then there's a laughteryoga.org.uk.
That's my site.
That's your personal site. So
yeah.
You look after that site.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at it, can we?
Yeah.
Can we see? Let me see if I can pull it up on the screen here. So that's something that you've been... How long have you been running that site?
Oh, just about a year, I think, now. So I've got a blog page on it. So when I'm in India, I'm regularly blogging about who I'm working with. Like, I'm going out to orphanages. I'm working with the laughter in schools. So, you know, lots of people... invites me when I'm out in India. It's very easy to go into their establishments to do the laughter yoga. They're very open for it.
Mm.
So I usually blog this on my site and let people know when my next trainings are coming up, and, you know, put photographs on and that type of thing.
Ah, there you go. A spiral of laughter.
Yeah.
And, oh, that's a sweet picture, the two Indian girls there. Big smiles, and there's you.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So, if anybody wants to, you can go to laughteryoga.org.uk, and I'll just post that in the chat room, and I'll also stick that on the blog when we're once I complete the show and upload the archive. I'll put the links to it as well.
Lovely.
So that people can have permanent access to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in the chat room who wants to?
Well, there is Mr. Leprechaun. He's down in London, and he might be going to bed about midnight. I don't know when he's going to hit the hay. But if anybody, there are listeners all over the world at the moment. But if anybody would like to join us in the chat room, we're at www.everbeyond.info. We will have mirrored chat rooms in our wolfspiritradio.com room as soon as I've actually done it. I'm in process of building the site with Dave Corso and Roger Silva, who are some of the hosts on the rest of the station. So we'll have chat rooms that people can listen to the show and communicate with us at the moment. And at the moment, there's no question. If there are any questions, do put them in the chat room. Or if you'd like to join us, do let me know, and we can join together on Skype, and you can call in using Skype, or I can call you, and we can have more of a conversation. But in the absence of that just now, as there is, we'll continue. So let's go back to the body dynamics, because I'm always interested, you know, when you're laughing, your diaphragm is moving up and down.
Yeah.
There must be some kind of compression that is going on. It's going to be compressing and expanding the heart as it's going up and down at the top, above it, and stomach and all sorts of things like that. And liver, is there a physical movement that is changing anything going on there?
Well, the main thing is that it's to do with the oxygen in the lungs, because there's a lot of stale residue of oxygen which we don't use. But through the breathing exercises, the stale air is exhaled.
Mm.
And so this is, you know, a big feature of laughter yoga is the replacement of the stale oxygen with fresh oxygen right. into the cells. So, but as regards other internal organs, I suppose they all have a knock-on effect from that.
So it's mainly the oxygen.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, our bodies use oxygen. Our bodies have blood, which carry the oxygen to the different parts of the body.
Right. Yeah.
But as we're talking, I'm thinking, I'm wondering, because you said you used the phrase stale oxygen.
Yeah.
And you think, how can oxygen go stale?
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, what if oxygen itself is a carrier of prana?
Right, yes.
And so stale oxygen, whether it's a misnomer or not, could be a sign that the oxygen no longer has prana in the oxygen.
Yes, I mean, because our lungs are capable of storing a lot of oxygen, and most people are breathing from their chest, so they're not accessing the full amount of the capability of their lungs. So, I mean, I'm not a medic, you know, but this is what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So this term stale oxygen is like this residual air that doesn't, as you say, probably...
It's not circulated, it just sits
and
presumably like water, which gives life to everything. Yeah. If it sits, it becomes stagnant and then goes bad.
Yeah.
And can cause harm. So that's a very interesting thing. So, and in the sessions, do they use incense or... Is it just fling the windows open, to make it easier to breathe? You know,
today I was doing a little training in my front room and there wasn't enough oxygen because the work requires really big, tall rooms with an airflow through. So in the end we went out into the garden and immediately there was a better effect.
Mm.
We all felt better, you know, because we were breathing straight, you know, from the air. It wasn't all sort of in this small room. So, it's one of the factors when choosing a venue for laughter yoga is to have nice, plenty of light and plenty of air flowing through. Yeah.
So a large, expandable space.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's a very expansive practice. Mm.
Fantastic.
We're expanding into sort of greater parts of ourselves.
Mm.
So little spaces, and because we're running around like children, we're doing an exercise. I could demonstrate it if you like.
Okay, well let's do a few demonstrations of exercises. Now it might sound a bit forced or a bit weird if it's just the two of us, but we'll hopefully the audience at home, you sit in a very comfortable position, and
well, hopefully the audience at home, you know, will join in with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, my favourite one is laughter cream, which I've just mentioned, but we also do something called mobile phone laughter. So you get your thumb and your little finger as a mobile phone, and then you just put it to your ear and it's as if you're having a funny conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just laughing. So you're just laughing with this your mobile phone.
All right.
So off we go. And then we can swap our mobile phones,
right.
And I can listen to yours, right. And you can listen to mine.
I bet yours is funnier. Yeah, yours is better than mine. I don't know who you're talking to.
And then we complete an exercise with childlike playfulness. Like we'd say to a child, we say, very good, very good, yay. And this yay, just the sound of it, like lifts our spirits.
Mm.
And so we go through a number of exercises, roughly about 10 of those type of exercises in an evening of laughter yoga.
Mm.
So, and we intersperse it with the breathing as well. So... The thing about it is that that's the first part of a laughter yoga session. There's three parts, and in the second part is something called a structure called laughter meditation. And you're laughing, but really you're laughing for no reason. You've got no mobile phones, you've got no laughter green, there's no little structures. You're sitting facing each other, no rank, you're all equals together. There are no language barriers. We're just in, you know, so it's suitable for non-native speakers.
So it's completely universal.
But the great thing about it, Jeremy, is in the laughter meditation, what I do is encourage people to put the things that are stressing them out into the circle. So to think of a situation or somebody or a world situation, whatever it is that they're having, that's causing them dis-ease, a dis-ease of the mind that they're not happy about, you know, that they're not at peace with, goes into the laughter meditation. And then after the session, when they then leave the space and go back to their lives, it's like an NLP, a neuro-linguistic programming technique. It's like that something is anchored in the body, that if you were laughing at a particular situation, say your boss at work, and when you meet your boss the next day, something's changed. So it's a very powerful technique to laugh at your stresses, and then the body and the mind are linked, the body and the brain are linked. So if then you see your boss and you have that smile going, that inner smile, because you've laughed about him in the laughter circle, it changes the whole dynamic and the whole vibration between you. So it, you know, creates more harmony.
So it seems like to be a universal equalizer, that
yes.
It destroys the idea of this person's better, stronger, faster, more powerful, more status than me. We're just humans laughing together.
And also destroys the idea of separation.
Yes.
It's much more of a oneness going on. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Interesting. See, a couple of shows ago, one of the co-hosts, Dave Corso, had a man who contacts Sasquatch people. You know, the Bigfoot people.
Oh, yeah.
And he's had very deep interactions with them. And one of the things that I really like about them is that they have a great sense of humour.
Mm.
And they're always playing pranks on him.
Mm.
And they do it telepathically. So he was saying last night, you know, he's sitting on the John and suddenly he hears the voice in his head of
wow.
this mind talker, this other Sasquatch. So I think what I'm getting to is the idea that humour and laughter is a universal, a galactic faculty.
Yeah.
It may be that humans have the ability to make the universe laugh.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean, I think it's an interesting theory. I've just thought about it in your presence, Jeremy. Yeah. This is what you bring about, all this esotericness about me. You know, rather than the Big Bang, the original thing was the laugh.
Yeah.
The cosmic laugh was the first thing that happened. So we start with a laugh, and maybe we're going to go out with a laugh, you know.
That would be great.
So
the universe starts with a laugh and ends in a giggle.
Yeah. So it's cosmic stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful, very powerful thing. So there's our listeners, huh?
Oh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Although we're not, there is a sort of 10-second delay between when we say something and then when they hear something. So, you have to kind of, if you make a call out to the chat room, you have to. It will take a while for anything to come back.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody's got any questions, because it's very. I mean, in a way, you're leaving it so that we don't need to ask questions, because you're laying it out. It's very easy. It's very accessible.
Yeah.
It's not like anybody needs to understand, you know, why do I have to laugh?
Yeah.
Why do I need to laugh? You know, we've already explained the esoteric functions, and everybody knows it's fun to laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's sort of getting it out and about, as you know, as you would anything else, for it to become more a commonplace thing, like the term yoga, which, you know, probably 10 years ago or 15 years ago it wasn't so well known. Now it's just part of our vocab. So, you know, this would be the dream, really, to have laughter yoga in that same way, But it is, we are getting there. So, for example, in India, they've now made it a requirement on the syllabus. It's throughout the whole of the country and all of India, and it's the other countries that follow, in some of the Middle Eastern countries, follow the same syllabus in secondary schools. It's a requirement by law to do laughter yoga first thing in the morning and last thing at night before they go home.
Wow.
So, you know, it is getting out there. And my vision is like this year I was at the Edinburgh Festival and I was doing laughter on the buses. So we were having laughter flash mobs. And you can't get locked up for laughing, no. You know. So we just went onto the top deck of the bus and we pretended there was a little gang of us of six and we pretended we didn't know each other. And that a given signal, I started to laugh, and they all followed, and we were all laughing. And then often the passengers would laugh or at least smile mm-hmm. alongside us. And then we would distribute various web pages where they can find out more about laughter. We would spread the message that laughter is the best medicine. Then we'd get off the bus and cross over Prince's Street and come on a bus going back the other way. And then we'd stop off at a park or halfway down Prince's Street, do some laughter exercises in the park. I mean, this is the stuff of revolution. You know, laughter is
absolutely. It's so much better than being serious.
Yeah, and so I mean, my dream would be, so imagine there were like laughter coaches.
Yeah.
Going into the underground, say in London, for example, and people would get onto it voluntarily, onto the laughter coach, and starting the day with some laughter exercises on these on the underground, and going into the city with this happening, it's you know, it's radical.
The smiley carriage.
Yeah, it's the laughing carriage, and you go in, and you know, it just would be make. Such a difference.
I wonder. It'd be good that you could. I mean, I'm sure if you put that idea out, somebody's going to pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't cost anything.
No.
You know, it just requires
a few stickers on the window saying this is the smiley.
Yeah, thing. A few dedicated laughter leaders, and you know, just to start the thing off, and you know, it's like, it'd be enough to change the country.
Yeah. Well, it would certainly change the mood in the city.
Well, exactly.
And I wonder if it would have an effect on the stock exchange.
Well exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, this is it. It's like these things work, you know, together.
Mm.
We're not separate.
How very, very, very interesting that is.
All things are connected.
Yes. So, what's happened? Message from here. All right. Go. Oh, that's not a message. I don't have an RSS feed. I have no idea. So if anybody's in the chat rooms, they wish to ask questions or tell us a joke or call in, we can take calls over the Skype. You know the score. And yes, hello there. So we've got some listeners over in California there. Actually, I don't know if
it's quite big in California, laughter yoga. They do it on the Laguna Beach every morning.
All right.
There's a laughter club somewhere over in California.
Excellent.
The climate does help, I think.
Yeah, it's a warm place is easier to laugh than a cold place.
Because you can be outside.
Yes.
That was what's so great about Edinburgh when we were doing it on the parks. We had some lovely sunny days.
Yes.
And it does make a difference, but, you know.
That's fantastic. There they all are. Wonderful. Yes. So, somebody else is wanting to do a show on laughter yoga. So there you go. You may get somebody else calling you up.
Very good.
Or emailing you. So this is lovely. I keep thinking about the breathing exercises. Do you want to give a couple of breathing, not the laughter exercises, but the pre-laughter? How? Because oxygenating your body is a wonderful. Way of just, I mean, even if you don't do any exercise, as I don't, you know, I'm just a very sedentary kind of lazy kind of guy.
Yeah.
So do you think laughter yoga and breathing exercises are an effective substitute for this mad sort of iron pumping, sitting in a gym and running on a treadmill kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I think the figure is two minutes of hearty laughter is the same as 10 minutes on a rowing machine. But it needs to be the hearty laughter. So there is, you know, it's like, it, obviously it's always about balance.
Yeah.
And but if you do this exhaling breath, mm-hmm. through, if you're just concentrating on the out-breath or the exhale just through the nose,
mm-hmm.
and you put your hand on your belly, so you could try that, listeners, as well.
Okay, so let's do that.
And,
so
all you're doing is you're blowing out of your nose, and the inhale is taking care of itself.
Right.
And you can feel your diaphragm working, your belly working there.
Mm. Of course, all my years of smoking is...
So that's you know, you could do that any time, Jeremy, while you're sat out here in your studio.
I can feel the oxygen bursting through my body just then. Yeah. A wave coming through.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and another good one is you know, humming is part of the yogi's practice, and humming and laughter. So. So the hum goes throughout the whole body, mm. and the laughter is just, again, it's just lightening us all up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very simple, accessible techniques. And there's also something called the silent laughter. Even if you're sitting on a bus, you don't have to laugh out loud, but you can laugh to yourself, and that also has an effect.
Because your brain thinks...
Yeah.
Even because you're imagining it,
yeah.
your brain thinks you're doing it.
Your brain thinks you're doing it. You can't tell the difference.
And does that create endorphins then?
Yeah, as long as it's hearty laughter, as long as it's from your belly.
Yeah, but you're not doing it. You're thinking about it. So as
well.
Oh, as you're doing the breathing thing.
So okay. So there is a case for thinking about it, like in the film The Secret, thinking about it is as good as doing it.
Mm.
So I don't know of any scientific research in this context, but remembering what happened on The Secret,
mm.
I mean, yeah, possibly, but I mean, one might as well do it, because you know, I why not?
Yeah, it's just the thing on the bus. It's the bus thing, you know.
I mean,
especially
you know, you can be doing this diaphragm movements on the bus, and if you're sitting at the front, so no one can see you, and you can be smiling,
mm.
or you can be silently laughing.
Smiling.
Get away with it, yeah.
Smiling. My an old friend of mine, French, of course, said, "Smiling is the opposite of laughter." Is that true, or is that?
No, I would say it's the first step towards laughter. So in the hour-long laughter yoga session, I always get... I ask people, it's an invitation to keep smiling, because you're halfway there.
Mm.
You know, it sounds as if it would be hard to smile for an hour, but it's not a false smile.
Mm.
It's a softening, actually. It's a softening of the facial muscles and a softening of the vibration that we're feeling about ourselves. And again, it's coming back to that self-loving, self-forgiving, compassionate type of feeling. So, smiling is great.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Emo Phillips there with some of his, frankly, quite bizarre humour. But he always makes me laugh. It's... None of his humour is like racist or sexist. It's all on him. He takes it all in. It's a ray, what I would call a secondary form of humour, and it always makes you go, "Ah, really? Ah, he's a sort of pathetic character, a pitiful character. It's lovely." So yes, Emo Phillips. So if you've never heard him before, I've got more
thanks
of that.
For that. Yeah.
So where does it go from here? We have a very serious world at the moment. Are there other ideas that you've yet to explore? I mean, I really like the idea of a tube train.
Yeah.
With you know, that's the laughter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just if it was like, if it was, I suppose the dream would be that groups of friends would be gathering, and because ideally in an ideal world, we wouldn't need laughter yoga, you know, but there is a lot of stress and a lot of tension around. So, yeah, I suppose much more, what's the word? Much more people doing it really would be great.
Yeah.
Much more openness. Get it into hospitals. Get well clinics. You know, people going to have a laugh before they actually get sick and get feeling stressed and feeling loneliness. So that would be good to have, as I say, a lot more public transport. Having it on, you know, in community centres. Just having it like the Zumba. Yeah, which is this latest craze that we've got, the dance craze we've got. There's like 80 people in our local town up the road, which is called Nen. Mm. 80 people practicing Zumba. You know, they like these line dances with songs, and it would be great if the laughter was along those similar lines where it just caught on, you know. And so old folks' homes, you know.
Ward 4.
Sorry?
Ward, you know, the psychiatric ward
might
greatly benefit from that.
Yeah, I mean, it is in jails at the moment. There are some, especially in America, and people, soldiers coming back from Afghanistan.
Yeah, people with post-traumatic stress.
There is a laughter yoga in accepted as part of their rehab program, so they're a lot more progressive thinking about it than we are in the UK, for example. But it's just a question of time. You know, it was on the BBC News. Some laughter yoga teachers were on earlier on the week. They were doing laughter yoga with the commentators. So this is, you know, national TV. So it's just a case of time, really.
Yeah. So we're very timely here. So we're right at the forefront, right at the the chuckling edge of the laughter wave.
Yes, definitely.
That'd be So remember where you heard it first, folks. Laughter is definitely the way forward for health, for national security. You know, if we had maybe, you know, because obviously, if you're carrying a bomb, you're not going to be full of cheer. So you could have a whole plane load of people and get them laughing. And if there's someone who's not laughing, you can then go and search them. Rather than having everybody ferried through the electric radiation.
Save a fortune.
You could save a fortune. Yeah, just get, see. Which one of you won't laugh? Yeah. Oh, okay, we're going to check your baggage. You might just be a miserable sod, but but just in case, we're going to check, see if you're wired for explosives. Yeah.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the airport is a particularly humorless place.
Yeah. I do something, in fact I've been doing it today, something called airport laughter.
Airport
laughter. And then I invite people to take all the sorts of things that they would be role playing into an airport.
Right.
So, you know, looking at the watch, being stressed about the missing the flight, pulling the luggage, being weighed, being searched, all the rest of it. We put in that into the airport laughter and we laugh about it. And my feedback that I have had from people after visiting the airport, after doing airport laughter, is that it shifts something.
Much less stressful.
And so it's, again, it's that ripple effect out, you know, one feels less stressful and passes it on to another and so forth.
That's marvellous.
Yeah.
That is it. That's brilliant. Yeah, so, I mean, basically, we need to, you know, our mission as future humans is to make the world a place that is full of laughter.
Yeah.
Where there's no misery, where there's no poverty, and there's no misery, and there's no conflict, because, like you said, when we're all laughing together, we're just one group of people laughing.
It is, it's true.
And it's that's all part of the oneness of us all.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the phrases sticks in mind that, when you laugh, you change, and when you change, the world changes around you.
That's great.
Yeah. And another quotation I like from Oscar Wilde is, you don't stop laughing because you grow old, but you grow old because you stop laughing.
Yes, I love Oscar. He's eminently quotable. He always says has something for the right moment. And I definitely think that Stephen Fry is Oscar Wilde in this century. You know, he's definitely got. He even played him in a show once in a documentary about Oscar Wilde. So that was the so that's the mission.
That's the mission, Jeremy. Yeah.
Yeah, and
are you going to join?
I'll be part of the.
I think you're an honorary member already, Jeremy, with your laugh.
I do like to.
You do like a chuckle, don't
you? Yeah, and well,
and you've got quite a good belly for it.
I've got plenty of belly for the belly laugh. But I mean, I watch as much as I can. I don't watch the news because that doesn't make me laugh. But I watch comedy satire about the news. That's where I get my news.
Yes.
In a comedy form.
And
I would recommend everybody just to switch off the news because it's just bad government propaganda.
Yes.
And to watch Have I Got News For You and Mock the Week and The Daily Show and whatever satire you can get.
Yeah.
Just watch that because that's much, much better than being depressed and you still find out the same information.
Yeah. Good idea, Jeremy.
How useful.
Super. Yeah, very
good. How useful. So we're coming up to about the time when you need to dash off to get to bed because here in the UK it's past midnight. Amanda is she's not a midnight person like me. She's not a night owl. She's a lark. She gets up with the lark and laugh across the dune lands people don't know that the Findhorn where Amanda lives is surrounded by. Sand dunes and little grass hillocks, and it's very much. You know, when I first came here, I thought I'm in Teletubby Land.
Yeah.
Because it's got little rolling hills, little hillocks, tiny little rolling hills, about 10, 15, 20 feet high, and grass and rabbits.
Yeah. And deer, the odd deer wandering around.
And the odd deer walking around, and these funny people with TV aerials on their head. You know, I don't know what they're doing. Yeah. So let's just reiterate your contact details. If anybody wants to contact you, how do they do so?
Okay, so the best way is through my email, Manda Stretch, MandaStretch, MandaStretch@hotmail.com. And another thing is you could look on my webpage. Again, I'll reiterate that. Which is laughteryoga, all one word, .org.uk. And so, and I've got some laughter on my blog page. There's there's a YouTube clip of a few of us with recorded laughter. So if you want a laugh, you just press the YouTube clip and you just laugh along with it.
You know, in the 70s and early when I was a kid, you used to get a little bag. With a little kind of recorder player in it, and you used to press a little button, and it would be a bag of laughs.
Yes,
and it would just it got a bit weird. I think that they didn't do a very good laugh recording on it because it was slightly kind of.
Yeah,
you know, a bit a sort of what's like the House of Wax kind of scary movie.
Yes, I've noticed that with recorded laughs. That's why we recorded our own, and it's great. Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you very much for asking me to come along, and I've enjoyed it. It's been great, and I hope other people have as well. And I'd just like to say to the viewers, just keep laughing, and at least if you know you're laughing, you're changing the world.
By changing yourself.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Manda Stretch, it's been a very, very fun show tonight. Thank you very much. I'm going to leave everybody with some Beach Boys.
Ah, lovely.
So, thank you very much and good night from Ever Beyond.